Why do so many Imperial uniforms have pens in the pockets? You know, big fat pens.
They're all dangerous nerds.
Yeah, weird, huh? Because nobody writes anything.
No,
at
all.
I imagine
it's all kept on a computer.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're pens. I wonder if they're like, it's supposed to be like a stylus to like interact with certain screens or whatever.
Maybe they're little R2-D2 penises that they can plug in the computer and twist.
The network children ask for it by name. The Defenestrate Media Network.
What happens when mixtapes meet memes? This is Gen Zex. Join JM Bell and Braxton Bunnell as they break down the news, music, movies, trends, and moments that shape Gen X and the world Gen Z is creating right now. We're judging the worlds that raised us, from landlines to smartphones. This is Gen Zex, the culture that was versus the culture that's trending.
You are listening to the world's greatest multi-generational pop culture podcast, starring Braxton.
That's me.
And me.
And that's you.
That's me. What's up, buddy?
not much. It's good to be back. I was telling Kat today that Sundays are very rapidly becoming just my favorite day of the week because it's my short day at work.
Yeah.
I get to come home. I get to record. And then after I'm done recording, usually all my friends are on for video games.
Aww.
And so it's just become this little like ritual. I'm always looking forward to coming home and recording because I always have a great time doing that. Always cheers me up.
Oh, good.
So I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad I didn't cancel on you.
I'm glad too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? What's new with you?
Oh, dude, I'm just wiped out. I got a couple of clients that I've done work for that are just taking their sweet ass time paying me.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And I think I'm down to my last $11.
Okay.
I have no idea when the rest of the money's coming in.
Okay.
Yep. So I'm grumpy.
Valid.
Yeah. And then I was teaching all weekend, and it's basically I do it over Zoom, and I've been talking. It was 8.5 hours yesterday and 8 hours today of literally me talking nonstop.
Yeah.
And it just plumb wore me out. Now, the problem was, the World Cup finals were yesterday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I taught Saturday and Sunday. So class got done early enough on Saturday that I was able to watch the England versus France game. Mm-hmm. And delayed, you know, it ended, I was still watching. So you have the start over option. Mm-hmm. And so I got to watch from the beginning. And then today was Argentina versus Brazil. And that one went into overtime. Mm-hmm. And the whole game was on while I was working. And
okay.
And so as soon as I wrapped up working, I flipped the game on. And it was 0-0. Mm-hmm. It was at 100-some-odd minutes. Jeez. And Brazil scores a goal. Mm-hmm. And seconds later, the referee blows the whistle for the final. So I saw the only goal in the game.
Well, that's good at least.
Yeah, so I only got to watch it for a minute. But for the first time in the history of the World Cup on American soil, we had a halftime show.
Okay.
Now,
I didn't know there was.
There's not usually a halftime show.
Okay.
The halftime's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So That's weird. The hydration breaks, which took the two halves and made them into four quarters. It was basically the Americanization of the world sport.
Okay.
And people were pretty bitchy about it, especially the hydration breaks. Because you start building up momentum, and then halfway through your half, everybody stops and goes and gets a drink of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really kind of changed the dynamic of the game. Sometimes for the better, depending on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, all it did was just interrupt everybody's momentum. So I watched the halftime show. So I wanted to see what that was all about. And it starts with, now get ready, it's a star-studded event.
Mm-hmm.
Starts with Madonna.
Okay.
Madonna.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of her. She was very popular in the 80s.
I have heard of her. I don't hear a lot of her music come up anymore.
Nope.
Unless it's someone playing it like at a party.
From the 80s. Yeah.
From the
sometimes,
80s.
Sometimes.
It's in an 80s movie I watched.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, she does. I know she did some pretty popular dance shit in the 90s that I didn't know. I knew her in the 80s when she was, you know, just hot pop.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember her book. Did you ever see her book, Sex?
No, I didn't.
Stainless steel cover. And then just full of naked pictures of Madonna with famous people.
That's wild.
It was wild. And that was in the early 90s.
I respect the hell out of anybody that publishes a book with a weird cover.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that I just love for some reason. I have a book called The People Who Eat Darkness.
Okay.
And it's a true crime book about people who go missing on Japanese subways.
Yeah.
And the cover is made so it doesn't show. It's made like this weird gloss so it doesn't show fingerprints.
Oh. Okay. I like that.
Yeah, so like I don't know. I don't know why I latched on to that part of that rather than like the naked Madonna pictures. But I like books, so.
Yeah, same. Did I ever give you a copy of my book?
No, you didn't. I meant to back the Kickstarter and then I didn't have money.
Oh. Well, not for nothing, but mondayinamerica.com
mm-hmm.
is where I'm selling the book.
Okay, I will be buying a copy.
Well, you don't have to. I'll just give you one. You're a buddy.
I don't let friends work for free.
Okay, then you can do it. So, okay, starts with Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And Madonna's with these two older gentlemen. I don't know who they are because I wasn't watching it live. She sings. She was wearing some weird fishnets that I just could not get a good enough look at to understand. But they were weird. She comes out, she's singing, and then some K-pop band started singing.
Okay.
I think.
I'm not familiar with K-pop outside of what comes on at work.
I know the name of the genre, and that is it.
I know BTS is a group.
Maybe it was them. Are there five of them?
I think there's usually five because it's usually like a boy band setup.
Okay, that's fair. They sang for a little while. Then Shakira, the only one who made sense to me.
Yeah.
Because she has done the theme song for two out of the last three World Cups. And then the Muppets were there.
Okay.
But it wasn't all of the Muppets. It started out, it was Animal, Floyd, and Janice.
Okay.
Playing along with the band.
Even star-studded Muppets lineup.
Once I saw the Muppets, I was like, fuck, I didn't know the Muppets were in this. That's fucking cool.
Muppets take the World Cup.
So yeah, Shakira's doing her little dance. Look, I find her dancing interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. She's a beautiful woman with an amazing voice. But frankly, I find her dancing odd and interesting. Neither here nor there. So
yeah,
she
I've always found her dancing like very odd. It's just one of those things where it looks strange to me, but mad respect because I can't do it.
Oh God, no. No, absolutely not. And so she was on with a rapper I don't know, who was a nice guy who could not stop staring at her ass. I understand. But you're on international television. There are a billion people watching you, sport. Maybe look her in the eye. Maybe.
Here it is. Okay. Yeah, BBC.com. Shakira, Madonna. Yeah, it was BTS.
Okay. And then Ted Lasso and Coach Beard do a little bit, which ends with them introducing Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Justin Bieber.
All right.
I don't know. Is Shakira from Mexico?
I am not sure where she's from.
You're typing. You can look it up.
Where is Shakira from?
Yeah. So.
She's from Colombia.
Okay. Then that doesn't make any sense. If she was from Mexico, then it would have been Madonna from America, even though she hasn't lived here in decades. Bieber from Canada, Shakira from Mexico. That made sense to me in a little way.
Yeah.
But if she's Colombian.
Yeah, she's from Colombia.
Then the whole makeup makes no goddamn sense. And then we go back to a bunch of little kids singing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine. Whatever. And more Muppets were out. Kermit was there. Piggy was there. The Count from Sesame Street was there.
Okay.
So it wasn't just Muppets. It was Sesame Street Muppets, too.
Is that still Jim Henson? Jim Henson's workshop?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that makes sense.
So that was the halftime show. It was 11 minutes. It was 11 minutes long. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that bad. My favorite thing was one of the announcers, one of the pundits, was asked, what was your favorite part of the halftime show? And he's like, it was Wayne Rooney. And he's like, when it ended?
Jesus.
They were mad. Soccer purists were mad. So anyway, you know, we watch all that. And then after I'm done with work, I'm laying down for a few minutes. I've got the broadcast on, and I'm listening to the pundits because I really like Thierry Henry, French fellow, played for Arsenal. Really, really good in-depth analysis. You know, fun to listen to. Funny guy, smart, handsome, etc., etc. And Infantino, the head of FIFA, comes walking out with the trophy to present it to Spain. Guess who's with him? Trump.
Oh.
So right. Tiffany says, oh, I wonder what embarrassing thing he's going to do. And Trump walks out. He and Infantino are both holding this little trophy. It's not a very big trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And they hand it off to Spain, to the captain of the Spain team. Trump does not let go. He just keeps hanging on for like 30 awkward seconds.
And yeah, then, it's that weird like handshake thing he does. Where he's like trying to like, that's like a power
kind of
thing. Yeah.
So he's holding on to the trophy. The captain's hanging on to the trophy. They're giving each other an awkward look. Trump lets go. Infantino turns around and walks off, which he is supposed to do because this is about the team. Trump, meanwhile, walks very slowly, does his little dance. Walks a little slowly, does his little dance, stands in front of the team, and turns around and starts smiling for pictures.
Yeah, very, yeah.
Just
never
on
have
brand.
I heard a more Trump-coded thing.
You know, you count to 10 or 12 or so, and Infantino comes running up, kind of grabs him and tugs on him. Trump still isn't moving. Infantino's like, you know, we gotta go. Trump's just standing there posing for pictures, and then finally just very slowly kind of turns and just ambles off. And we're both like, this fucking guy. It was embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was embarrassing.
So everything he does is embarrassing.
But, yeah, I watched Trump embarrass the United States yet again for this World Cup. I walked into my office, and while I was waiting for 7 o'clock to hit so that you and I could record, I canceled my subscription to Fox One.
Nice.
Yep.
Very good.
Yep. I'm just like, one, I'm not going to forget and accidentally give them another penny, and two, every time I opened this app to watch soccer, I felt dirty. That's it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, sometimes an article will pop up and I'll click it before reading that it's Fox and I'll hurry and back out. like it's an embarrassing Google search.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, buddy. What do you got for me this week?
Okay. So this week, I want to go back to October of 2010.
Okay.
On October 13th, 2010, the world watched as all 33 miners were successfully pulled to safety using the Phoenix rescue capsule. They'd been trapped roughly 2,300 feet underground in the San Jose gold and copper mine that collapsed on August 5th. So trapped down there for over a month.
Yikes.
On October 22nd, WikiLeaks released nearly 400,000 classified U.S. military documents. Talking about the Iraq War from 2004 to 2009, they exposed over 15,000 previously unreported civilian deaths, numerous detainee abuses, instances of civilian killings at military checkpoints. Good on them for releasing that. That needed to be released. I stand with WikiLeaks.
Good job, WikiLeaks.
In theaters in October of 2010, you could have seen Jackass 3D. Which held the highest grossing movie for that month at $101 million.
Okay.
The Social Network grossing nearly $80 million. And Paranormal Activity 2, which I still feel was a good movie despite the first one being the best one.
Okay.
Top songs of October 2010 included Like a G6, Just the Way You Are, Just a Dream, and DJ Got Us Fallen in Love Again.
I don't think I know any of those.
Like a G6, Far East Movement, that one's very popular. That's a very popular club song. And I guarantee if you hear it, you will recognize it.
Okay.
But on October 31st, 2010, the world premiere of the series The Walking Dead happened.
I remember.
Yeah. It took the world by storm. And I believe it was a major contributor to what I refer to as zombie fever that kind of, for lack of a better term, infected the public consciousness from like late 2009 to like 2012, where just everything was zombies. Everyone you knew had a zombie survival plan.
Well, for what it's worth, my zombie survival plan, my zombie apocalypse plan, is from the early 90s.
Okay.
I don't know why. I believe drugs were involved, and we were sitting around, and somebody brought it up, and we all started talking about it. That's where I came up with my favorite line, that the nice thing about a sword is it never runs out of ammunition. You know?
Yeah, same with a bike. Never runs out of gas.
Yep. Well, if I'm riding the bike, it's going to run out of gas.
But this series started a family tradition in my house growing up. Every Sunday, I can't remember if it was 7 or 8 o'clock, whole family except my mom, because she didn't like gory shows, would gather around the TV and we would watch The Walking Dead. And I hadn't heard of The Walking Dead before this, but then I found out it was a comic.
Yes.
And in between seasons 1 and 2, I read some of the comic and I enjoyed it. And I eventually went on to read the rest of the comic like later in my life. But I loved season one. I still think season one is one of the best seasons in TV. Purely because of the way it sets the tone for this show. And specifically episode one, Days Gone By, does that. I think my only issue with it is the Don't Dead Open Inside door.
Same as the comic.
Mm-hmm. Same as the comic. Yeah. Which, you know, props. They kept it faithful.
Yep.
But I think that Frank Darabont, who directed this first season and I believe some of the second season, was an absolutely perfect pick to direct the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because previously he had directed, he did The Green Mile and Shawshank Redemption.
Brilliant movies.
Oh, outstanding. And that's not to say the rest of the cast wasn't amazing. I mean, Andrew Lincoln was fantastic as Rick. Norman Reedus was good as Daryl, even though Daryl didn't exist in the comics.
Yeah.
So I never quite understood why they added Daryl in. I think it's kind of because a lot of the characters die off a lot quicker in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are several characters that are in the first issue that are not in the fourth issue.
That is true.
And so I think it was kind of like, I think they wanted a character that they could kind of have around for a while, and making him kind of like a, you know, redneck in the middle of Georgia,
mm-hmm,
was the way to go.
Yeah.
And then like in the later seasons, you get like Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who's fantastic as Negan. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. He's a good actor.
My big gripe with this show is season two. Because they arrive on the farm in season one, episode one, and they leave on the last episode, season two, episode 13.
Yes.
In the comic, they arrive on issue 10 and they leave on issue 14.
Yep. Yep.
This is because AMC saw this show as what it would eventually become, which is just a money printer.
Yes.
So they told Frank Darabont, we want double the episodes, and then they halved his budget.
Yes.
And I think eventually, like partway through season two, he got like let go, and then it became kind of like a rotating cast or a rotating group of directors.
Yeah.
That would direct the episodes. But this season just drags down the whole show for me. Like
it's fucking boring. Except for pulling an Otis.
Mm-hmm.
That one still cracks me up.
Yeah. But yeah, this season is just so boring, and did you ever hear about the pitch for the first episode of season two that they wanted to do?
Mm-mm.
That Frank, so you remember at the end of season one when Frank, or not, I don't know why I said Frank, Rick crawls into the tank and he sits next to that dead soldier who's actually a zombie, and there's that grenade.
Yes.
Right there. Or I think that was the end of the first episode. For the first episode of the second season, they wanted to do a kind of documentary following that character, that soldier, and it would show you how Atlanta fell, would show you how quickly it happened, and they wanted to do it like a documentary style, like boots on the ground episode, to show you just how bad things were while Rick was in the coma.
Yeah.
And then it would end with I believe that was Sam Witwer who played that zombie, Sam Witwer also voiced Darth Maul.
Oh, okay.
His character would crawl into the tank and he would be bitten and he would be about to pull the pin on the grenade and then he would set it on the shelf and pass and die.
Yeah.
And then it would show that like how that grenade that saved the group at the end of the first season got there.
Brilliant. Very meta.
Very cool. It gives you insight into the lore. It shows you what the world was like as this, you know, infection happened. Why didn't we do it? Like, I just, the choice to have the entire season take place on a farm with mostly talking and minimal zombies on a fence, except for the end when you find out that Herschel's keeping his family in the
barn full of walkers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I really want to love this show, and I still have not fully watched this show. I stopped watching around season 5. I think I have heard seasons like 6, 7, and 8, like, where, because I watched a couple episodes where Negan shows up just out of context. But I've heard they get better.
That's what I've heard. I've told you this story before, and I'm happy to tell it again since it's in context. But I watched the show all the way through to where Negan showed up. And then that first episode with Negan, where he kills a couple of folks. I won't throw any spoilers out because I know that there's late watchers. Kills a couple of folks with a baseball bat. And I'm just like remembering it from the comics, and how he only killed one specific guy in the comics. And so when he killed a different guy in the TV show, I was like, oh, man, they just chickened out. And then he kills the second guy, who was the guy from the comics. And I was like, holy shit, that was fucking great. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, rope-a-dope. You got me, you guys. Way to go. Good job. You know? And Tiffany had never seen an episode of Walking Dead before. And had watched the episode with not a comment, not a sound, nothing. Right? I look over at her and I was like, hey, that was a pretty good episode. She looks me in the eye, face covered in horror. Which is basically, who would watch a show like this? What kind of a person thinks this is entertaining? This is the most violent shit I've ever seen in my life. I haven't seen an episode since.
Okay.
I want to.
I do. I find this entertaining.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. But at the time, we were very early in getting to know one another in a relationship sense. And so I just was like, okay, you know what? I'll take a little break. We'll get her around to it. But this is the girl who got nauseous and vomited watching The Punisher.
Oh,
the second to last episode in the original Punisher run on Netflix when they torture him.
Yeah.
That was it for her. She's just like, bleh. She doesn't handle violence very well.
Fair.
Like Jack Ryan on Amazon with John Krasinski is too violent for her.
Really?
And that's just people shooting each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's some stuff. But no, I agree with you. Andrew Lincoln was fantastic. You know, even though he's just down here talking in a southern accent, a little bit of a growl, like most English actors do when they come over, is they just do a southern accent because it's kind of Welshy. I don't know. But then you've got Seth. For fuck's sake. The Punisher. John Bernthal.
Yes.
John Bernthal was fan-fucking-tastic. You know?
As Shane.
Shane. I really, really liked him in this.
Oh, he was great as Shane.
Yep.
And I can never remember how to pronounce her name. Dani Gurria as Michonne.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So good.
Now, season 2 had one good thing.
Okay.
Lauren Cohen as Maggie. I love Lauren Cohen. Right? I even watched that silly little spy show she did. I could not possibly tell you the name of without looking it up right now. But yeah, I liked Lauren Cohen a lot. I thought she did a really good job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was great.
Whiskey Cavalier, it was called.
Okay. I have never heard of that.
It's not bad. She plays a spy as part of a couple of spies, and it only got 13 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I never watched them in their original run. I ended up, I think, buying the season on Amazon so that I could watch it.
Yeah, who's the guy who played Abraham? Because he was really good too.
Oh yeah, hang on, I'll look it up.
Yeah, he was really good. This show has a great cast. It's I didn't get past season 5. Because I think I literally just, I had like homework one night and I couldn't watch. And then I just kept telling myself, well, I'll just catch the next one. And then I just never got the next one.
Yeah. Let's see. Abraham. I'm sorry. My browser has just shit the bed. So.
Oh, you're fine.
But no, I know who you're talking about. Redheaded fellow with the big mustache.
Let's see.
Yeah, he was good.
Michael Cudlitz.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
He's very good.
Yeah. No, I think that's all I really have to say about The Walking Dead is that that first season will always just hold a very special place to me because I remember watching it and thinking, wow, this is the coolest thing I have ever seen.
That's not bad.
So, yeah, do you have anything else?
I don't. I believe that is all I have for The Walking Dead. We'll see. I want to watch more. I want to know how Daryl got to France. I want to know why Negan and Maggie are in fucking New York. I am actually interested in the universe and the lore. I really give a shit. But
I've seen the pictures of Rick in the cool all black armor with the knife hand. Like I want to know why he has that and how he got that.
Okay, yeah, me too. So I gotta watch all the Negan shit, you know, and all of that to get through it and get to it, and it's all on AMC, which I do not have.
Are you gonna read the books?
You know what, I've got the trades. And up to 22. And I believe there's 34 trades.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the in-universe books from the TV show.
Oh. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there are books that are like spin-offs from the TV show to explain certain things. Like, I think there's one all about the governor. There's like an entirely separate story that takes place somewhere else in the country following a completely different set of characters.
Huh.
But it's in the Walking Dead universe.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I think I have the governor one. If I have it, you can just have it.
Oh, I'd love to try and read it. No, I mean, that's one of the nice things about Kirkman is how open he is to universe building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I like that he's letting people play in his universe.
Yeah, I mean, Spider-Man's an Invincible, and so is Spawn and Savage Dragon.
Nice, very nice. All right, well, why don't we take a break? When we come back on the other side, I'm taking us, surprise, surprise, back to the 80s.
Hey.
Sorta.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
And we don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
Hey folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com. The month of May 1982, highly significant period in recent history, marked by major geopolitical events, the peak of short but intense international conflict, and notable cultural milestones. The Falklands conflict, which is actually in the news because of the Argentina game. Undeclared war between the United Kingdom and Argentina over the Falkland Islands was in full swing. British forces launched a major counteroffensive, establishing a beachhead with the pivotal Battle of Goose Green taking place May 28th to 29th, resulting in a crucial British victory. On May 30th, Spain officially adjoined NATO, becoming the alliance's 16th member. In the United States, the Pentagon drafted its first strategy outlining how to fight a nuclear war.
Okay.
May 1982.
Mm-hmm.
On May 19th, acclaimed Italian actress Sophia Loren began a 30-day prison sentence for tax evasion in a woman's prison in Naples, Italy. The United States was in the throes of a severe early 1980s recession, which pushed unemployment rates significantly higher than by the year's end. The number one song on the U.S. Billboard's Hot 100 in mid-May was Ebony and Ivory by Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder. I have a small note on that. Theaters were dominated by major cinematic releases. Conan the Barbarian.
I love that movie.
Yeah. And Rocky III.
I will watch that movie.
it's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. It's not the worst Rocky movie.
If it's on, I won't turn it off.
No. The worst one is 5. And then there's Rocky and then Rocky Balboa.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the ones with old Rocky, even though they're just plain formula. They're just there to make money. I still thought they were pretty good. But in May of 1982, released on VHS for the first time was a movie called Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the first Star Wars movie I've seen. The first one I saw in theaters in 1980 was Empire Strikes Back, which we will, of course, cover at some point on this show because it's it's a great fucking movie. But I hadn't seen Star Wars. I really didn't know the story because I'd only seen Empire. And I enjoyed Empire, but I knew even at 8 years old that I was missing some story. So when I was 10 years old and it came out on VHS, the first thing we did was we rented it to watch at home. Mm-hmm. And it blew my fucking mind. And then I made Dad rent Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. And then I made him rent Star Wars every time we went for about 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
You know, and to the point where we ended up buying it. Mm-hmm. And VHS tapes were stupid expensive back then. They were like $100.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my parents did something like that. It was every time we went to Blockbuster, I wanted to rent Ultimate Spider-Man for the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And so for my birthday 1 year, they just got it for me because I assume it was just cheaper to buy it than it was just to keep renting it.
Yep. Yep. So Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hope. A farm boy joins forces with various allies to save the galaxy from the evil empire's planet-destroying battle station while also rescuing the princess leading the rebellion against them. Joseph Campbell, right, mm-hmm. basically mapped out for George Lucas how to write this movie. Mm-hmm. And Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, a giant fucking ape guy, right? Mm-hmm. A dude in a plastic helmet.
Yeah.
Right? And one of the guys from Bridge Over the River Kwai. And then I believe another guy from Bridge Over the River Kwai, but at very least Longest Day. Jesus Christ, Bell. I'm just having a day, dude. It has been a long fucking week.
Oh, you are all right.
Yeah. And so the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. Young man approached with destiny to go out and save something, whether that be the kingdom, whether that be the universe. Mm. So perfect of a target of that demographic was I. Mm-hmm. That I just fell in love immediately with the idea of Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
You know, it was just that delightful. You know, I loved Luke. Now, As I grew a little older, I became enamored with Harrison Ford as Han Solo. And
oh, the dashing rogue.
Yeah. Now, looking back, obviously, Peter Cushing. Jesus Christ. Peter Cushing is Grand Moff Tarkin, whatever the fuck a moff is. Mm-hmm. You know? Peter Cushing, Alec Guinness. These guys are heavyweight British actors who did this weird little sci-fi film that they did not understand at all. I'd also like to point out, as far as Peter Cushing goes, why do so many Imperial uniforms have pens in the pockets? You know, big fat pens.
They're all dangerous nerds.
Yeah, weird, huh? Mm-hmm. 'Cause nobody writes anything.
No, I imagine it's all kept on a computer.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're pens. I wonder if they're like, it's supposed to be like a stylus to like interact with certain screens or whatever.
Maybe they're little R2-D2 penises that they can plug in the computer and twist.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Like, yeah, those keys. Yeah.
But Grand Moff Tarkin has 4 fucking pens. Mm-hmm. You know, 2 on each side of his little thing. So I'm sure that somewhere somebody can explain them to me, as well as the little packets of gum they wear where American soldiers wear their medals. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'll be honest with you, at no point in the original trilogy or the prequels did I find Darth Vader the least bit scary or intimidating, right?
I felt that same way. It's just he just kind of has like a goofy costume, he works as a villain.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason he's one of the most iconic villains of all time.
Yes.
And it's because you can understand that in the universe, he is imposing.
Yeah.
But also, they're moving shit with their minds, so it's kind of hard to take seriously.
It's, oh, somebody, some guy did a breakdown of it, and he's like, the funny thing about Star Wars is he's like, you know, the Jedi, they move things with their feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, but the scene where he's like, you know, your sorcerer's ways don't intimidate me, and your blah blah dead religion, and Darth Vader chokes the shit out of him and says, I find your lack of faith disturbing. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, so he's Christian. Wah wah. And that was when I was 10. So yeah, I just, it was such a perfect movie for a 10-year-old to watch. Mm-hmm. To the point that I tried making my children watch it when my youngest was 10 years old, and he was having none of it. You know? My kids do not dig sci-fi. I barely got them to read comics for a while. You know? They're dorks. They're just not my flavor of dork is the problem. So, yeah. No, it's...
I think I had a very similar feeling to you when I saw this for the first time, because I saw it at about 10 or 11, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. At that time, the prequels were going. I don't remember when. I think the prequels were done.
They started, I believe, in 91. I can't remember.
For Phantom Menace?
Yeah. Or was that 94?
Phantom Menace was 99.
Oh, Jesus. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Revenge of the Sith was 2005. So yeah, prequels were done.
Okay.
And the Clone Wars was, the Clone Wars TV series was happening at the time. And I had friends who were interested in the Clone Wars TV series. And so I watched this movie, fell in love with it. I will defend the prequels until I die. I love them.
You can have Jar Jar. I don't care.
No, that's fine. I'll take him.
About the only thing that makes Jar Jar stomachable for me is that weird fan theory that he's actually a Dark Lord of the Sith, pretending to be a goofball.
Did you see the newest Lego Star Wars movie?
No.
It was a Lego Star Wars movie, but it was called Rebuild the Galaxy. It went straight to Disney Plus, I believe.
Okay.
Or was that? No, that's the TV series. No, I'm talking. There's one where it's like, or maybe it's just a series of Lego sets, but there's either a series of Lego sets, a movie, or a TV series.
Something.
Star Wars. One of those.
Something Lego.
Yeah, but it's flipped. So the Jedi are the Sith, and they made Jar Jar a Sith Lord in that.
Misa, find your lack of faith meest disturbing. Yeah, no, so I have in my memory the perfect version of Star Wars, A New Hope, back when it was Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have all of the weird doodads and edits that that Lucas threw in there, which I think are silly. Especially the one in New Hope. You know? I don't think that movie needed it. I think it was fine. If it needed a remaster, it was just to polish up the edges and brighten the colors, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, upscale it to the screen size of the time.
Yeah, because he's like, look, there was stuff I wanted to put in it, and we didn't have the technology at the time. So he gets the technology, and what does he put? He puts two Jawas on the back of a short Brontosaurus.
Oh, yeah, and the stormtroopers riding the big big lizard thing
yep.
on the two legs in the desert. And then Jabba is also CGI.
Jabba shows up in the Jabba. In the hangar.
So, fun thing about Star Wars. My dog is blind.
Yes.
And he likes noise. He gets anxious if I don't put noise on when I leave the apartment.
Yeah.
So for the last 2 months, he's been watching my DVD copy of Star Wars on repeat.
Okay.
And so I have seen this movie in bits and pieces. I've seen it probably 100%, probably like 5 or 6 times. But the DVD copy I have is the one with the CGI.
Yeah.
And I was watching that scene where Han is walking with Jabba next to the Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
And Jabba's just, I can't remember what they're talking about, but Jabba looks like shit. It looks, the CGI in this did not age well.
No.
And no. I don't know. I don't know why this one has to be like the standard.
Oh my God. I just noticed something. I had New Hope playing on in the background when we started with the volume down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just watching. It ended while we were talking. Mm-hmm. And moved on to Empire Strikes Back, and the one of the AT-AT commanders is the guy who played the American Nazi in Last Crusade.
Oh,
I just looked up and there was his face, and I was like, "Hey, it's that Nazi guy from Last Crusade." And then I'm like, "He's an AT-AT commander? Seriously? Okay." That's fun. They really do. They just recycle their actors.
Yeah. I mean, it may as well.
Yeah. But that's it, man. That's other than The Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell. I'm sorry. Star Wars, A New Hope by George Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
It was a meaningful film. It's one of the reasons I love sci-fi as much as I do. Much to my wife's chagrin. She doesn't care much for sci-fi. Though, by the way, Blade Runner is one of her favorite movies.
She doesn't like sci-fi, but Blade Runner is her favorite?
The sets, the art, and Vangelis.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have people who have asked me, who are not into sci-fi, how to get into sci-fi, and I usually tell them to wait on Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Until they're a little more into it.
Yeah, it's a harder sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But you know what? Let's talk about sci-fi and other sci-fi stuff in Patreon.
Oh, let's. Let's pay all this.
I don't know if you know this or not, Braxton, but every week that we record, we put special content over at patreon.com/defenmedia. That's D-E-F-E-N media. For folks that are a member of our crew over there to listen to. So we'll be building an episode on Patreon as soon as we're done recording this. It's fantastic. Patreon.com/defenmedia. You should join us over there.
Yeah, I do know that. I have said it once. I will say it again. I am on 3 different Patreons for 3 different podcasts, this being one of them. This Patreon is the most bang for my buck.
It is, because it's far and away. 5 shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we do. Anyway, thanks so much for recording for me again this week, buddy.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again. It's a delight as always.
I do. This is the highlight of my week.
Well, swell.
You know, and it's okay. It's the highlight of my podcasting week.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah,
I get that.
I have a wife. So
oh, yeah.
She lets me see her naked from time to time. That's usually the highlight of my week.
Understandable.
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Did you like the show? Join JM and Braxton on Patreon. Patreon.com/defendmedia. Each week they record, they upload additional content exclusively for the Patreon family. Patreon.com/defendmedia.